in accordance with what the Bible says, the only thing that we ask is that you believe it, obey it, and share it with others. The word likewise is found at least in 107 times in the book of books, the Bible. This morning I want to talk with you for just a little while about Bible likewises. We're going to look at least 10 this Lord's Day. 5 this morning, and then 5 tonight. So I hope that you'll anticipate that, and that you'll come back and be with us in the evening service. And the first one that I want you to think about is found in the book of Psalms 49, the 49th Psalm. As we think about Bible likewises, in Psalm 49 verse 10, the Bible says, "For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish, and leave their wealth to others." And so the first one I want you to think about is the fact that death comes to all. That's really what he's saying in this passage. He says that death is going to come likewise to wise men and the fool. We need to be reminded of that from time to time, don't we? You know, especially, and older ones are guilty of this as well, but especially when we are in our youth, we think and we live our lives as though we're going to live forever. You ever been guilty of that? Sometimes we don't give thought for tomorrow, and we don't think about what lies in the future, perhaps, and sometimes we only live for the here and now. Now, granted that this moment is all that we have, tomorrow's not a given. We're not promised tomorrow, are we? I've made mention to you, and this was recently told to me again, that the older we get, the faster time seems to go. How many of you here this morning are now older, I'll put it that way? You're older, and you've lived the greater number of your years, and you look back over the span of your life, and you say, where did it all go? I remember talking to older ones like Willard, and individuals who have died and gone on, and they would talk with me and they'd say, "Don, it just seems like yesterday that I was a child, that I was playing in the creek and doing all the things that kids love to do." And we got to be careful that we don't live our lives as though we're going to live forever, because we're not. Death is going to come to each and every one of us, and we need to be reminded about that. And perhaps you may say, "Well, I don't need to be reminded about that. I already know that I'm going to die." Well, yeah, we know that we're going to die, but yes, we need to be reminded about it. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5, "The living know that they shall die." You know that, and I know that as well. The wise man also talked about that in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. When he ended up saying, "Wherever the silver cord be loosed," remember that? "Or the bow be broken, or the wheel broken at the cistern," and so forth, "then shall the dust return to the ground from whence it was taken, but the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." You're very well familiar with Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, "As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." You know, it doesn't matter if you're wealthy, if you're poor, if you're healthy, if you're sick, if you're young, if you're old, makes no difference. Death is not a respecter of persons. It's coming to all. In James chapter 4, verse 14, "For what is your life?" Remember that question. "It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then what? Vanisheth away." That seems to be the way life is. Here today, gone tomorrow. We're going to perish. 1 Peter chapter 1, he talks about the gospel, the fact that the word of the Lord will endure forever. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. And he says, "For man is the grass, and the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away." It seemed like yesterday that spring had just begun. The trees were blooming, the flowers were coming out, and so many of them now have withered away. That's the way life is. And we need to be reminded about that. There's another one I want you to think about as we think about Bible likewises. And that's found in the book of Matthew, chapter 17. in reference to our Lord, Matthew chapter 17. Notice, if you will, let's back up to verse 10. And His disciples asked Him, saying, "Why then say the scribes that Elias must first come?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew not him, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed." Now notice the next word. "Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them." Then the disciples understood that He spake unto them of John the Baptist. We need to be reminded about how that our Lord suffered. The prophets of the Old Testament suffered, scorned, ridiculed. John the Baptist preached concerning the fact that the kingdom of God was at hand. Remember that, Matthew chapter 3 and then verse 2? Then John began to preach, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Do you think that he was readily accepted among the religious people? Did they like his message? Did Herod like his message when he was reprimanded of John because he had taken his brother Philip's wife and had married her? And he said, "It's not lawful for thee to have her." You think that that made him a popular character? And Jesus is saying, they've done unto him whatsoever they would. Likewise shall the Son of Man suffer. I want you to think about what our Lord and Savior went through. Sometimes we take that for granted. I don't think we can possibly fathom and comprehend what the Lord suffered and the degree to which He was in agony, can we? The Bible says that He had compassion on people. I want you to think about that. Here was a man that came on the scene, began to preach the gospel of the kingdom, did all those wonderful works among people. He had compassion toward people, fed those that were in need, restored sight to the blind, restored the ability of individuals that were lame to walk, raised the dead to life again, and look what they did to him. Do you think we have it difficult when we think about things that are happening in our world today? Do you think about what the apostles suffered and they went through? We talked about James in the teenage class this morning, the other apostles put to death. Do you think about Paul's record of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians chapter 4 rather, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and the things that they went through? And the things that are catalogued for us, and we need to understand that. They endured. And then we get upset when we feel like it is inconvenient for us. It's hot outside. It's too cold outside. I'm tired. I had a long day at work yesterday. And we could just go on and on and on and on. We are blessed. And we're blessed, among other things, because of what Jesus did. So must the Son of Man suffer. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Remember that? Who endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Why did He do that? Why would He care to do that? Was He made to do that? We've talked about that before. Was He made to do that, or did He do it on His own fruition? He did it on His own will. Which one? He willingly went to the cross. In Acts chapter 8, as a eunuch was sitting in his chariot reading from the prophet Isaiah, from the 53rd chapter of that book. And he was reading that this man was led as a sheep dumb before a shear, so opening not his mouth, and his humiliation, his judgment taken away, and so forth. And he said, who was the prophet talking about, himself or some other man? Who was he talking about? He desired that Philip would come up and sit with him. He began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He came to do the Father's will and was able to exclaim from the rugged cross as he was suspended between earth and heaven, it is finished. John 19 and in verse 3. When they came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, recorded in Matthew chapter 16 and Mark chapter 8, and the Lord asked them, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And some say that you're John the Baptist, some say Elias, some say that you are Jeremiah, and some say one of the prophets. But who do you say that I am? Remember what Peter confessed? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then the Bible says that he began at that time to show unto them how that he must go to Jerusalem and to suffer many things, to be put to death, and to rise on the third day. Why did he do that? Yes, the prophets suffered. Yes, John the Baptist suffered. Yes, the apostles suffered. Why did Jesus suffer? Each and every one of us can point to ourselves. Because I sin. Falling short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23, and God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Remember that, John 3:16. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Garrett read, and you're hearing this morning, as the Lord's Supper was being getting ready to be served. From Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't it a sad state of affairs? When individuals will hear that and even confess that they believe that, and then will say, thanks but no thanks. Now's not the time. Now's the time. If you're here this morning, you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ. Today is the day that you ought to do that and not put it off. But that's not the only one that I want you to think about. So think about Bible likewise. And this one is forgiving others. And that's found in Matthew chapter 18, among other places. And we're going to read verse 35. Matthew 18 and verse 35. Our Lord and Savior said, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. If ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother, their trespasses. Talking about the unmerciful servant. Mercy was demonstrated toward him, but when it came time that he had opportunity to demonstrate mercy toward his fellow servant, it was not given. His Lord was wroth about that, verse 32, and called and said, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant as I also had pity on thee? How quick are we to forgive others? Are we quick to forgive others, or do we just let it build inside and we hold grudges and we say, well, if they want my forgiveness, they're going to have to come and plead and ask me and beg me for it. Is that our disposition? Let them come and ask me first. Let them come and tell me how sorry they are that they offended me. So, here's our word we're capitalizing on this morning. So likewise shall my Heavenly Father do also unto you. Here it is, we obey the gospel of Christ and God has forgiven us of all the things that we've ever done, of our past sins. And then someone trespasses against us and they offend us and they ruffle our feathers and they get us mad and angry and, oh, I'm not ready to forgive them. I've had individuals tell me, Donnie, pray for me in such and such case that so-and-so did me wrong and pray that one day I might be ready to forgive him. So likewise shall our Heavenly Father do also unto you.
Matthew chapter 18. Notice, if you will, in verse 21. Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said in verse 22, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. In essence, don't put a limit on it. There's no cap on it. Be willing and ready to forgive. Just as you want God to forgive you, you forgive men. The Lord talked about that in the book of Matthew in chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. He gave them this model prayer. Among other things, he said, as stated in verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do we do that? Do we forgive others? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now let me ask you the question. Is there someone in your life this morning that you need to forgive, but you haven't done it? Is there someone in my life that I ought to forgive, but I haven't been willing to do that? It's not always easy. Someone says, well, I'll forgive, but I'll never forgive. Hold on just a moment. It may be the case that due to the weaknesses of this fleshly body that we dwell in, that we may remember things from time to time that has happened to us in the past. But when we forgive, that means we cut the strings and we turn loose of it. We never bring it up again. Easy? No, not always. Necessary? Absolutely. For if we forgive not men their trespasses, neither will our Heavenly Father forgive us. Do you want to be forgiven? As one preacher would say, shake or nod. Do you want to be forgiven? Sure, we all do. Then we need to be willing to forgive others. But that's not the only one that I want us to think about this morning. And this next one comes from the book of Luke. In chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Let's begin with verse 27. Luke 6, 27. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies. Do you have enemies this morning? Have we made enemies along the way? We don't always purposely do that. I hope that we're not out trying to make enemies. But you know, sometimes when you teach people the truth, they may count you as an enemy. The Apostle Paul asked those in the book of Galatians, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take away thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh thee. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask him not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Some say it's a golden text of the Bible. Whatsoever you would that others do to you, do it to them as well. Think about that. Do we practice that? Do we say, how would I want them to treat me if I were on the other side of the fence? Or do we say, I'm going to dish it out the way that they dish it to me? What's our attitude? Notice what he said. And as you would that men would do to you. You want to be treated good? You want to be treated kind? You want to be treated in an honest manner? Then the Lord is saying, you do that likewise. Likewise means, by the way, also, or in a like manner. You do that to them. And so as we think about this, well, I want us to think about our treatment of others.
People pay attention to that. The world pays attention to the way that we treat not only one another in the body of Christ, but the way that we treat our neighbor. I've heard individuals get so angry at others that they would say if they were on fire and I had a jug of water, I would put them out with. Isn't that awful? If they were the last person on earth, I wouldn't help them. Is that the way Jesus was? No. Full of compassion. Full of good. How we treat others is important. The Lord talked about that in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. And He said, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. In other words, people will see it. Set up and see it. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and pat you on the back. Is that what the text says? You know better. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Do good to others. As we have opportunity to do that, we look at Luke chapter 10 and verse 37. Lord talked to them about this good Samaritan. Remember that? As He's teaching them in response to the question, was this man willing to justify himself? Who's my neighbor? And so the Lord gives them this teaching. Which now, verse 36, of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him, then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Are we going about doing likewise as we have opportunity and we have the ability to do that? Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for we shall reap in due season if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And I love the statement that is made concerning our Lord in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Notice what the Bible says, Acts 10:38, concerning Jesus. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing what? Good. And healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Oh, if that could be our disposition, if that could be our attitude, that I want to go about as the Lord did, doing good to those that I come in contact with. Rather than put individuals down and discourage individuals and talk about people and throw stumbling blocks out and discourage people from doing all the good that they can do. Folks, we need to be an encouragement to others and do good to them. There's one more that I want you to think about this morning. That's found in Luke chapter 13, a passage that I trust that you are familiar with. Luke 13, and we're going to begin with verse 1. Luke 13, verse 1. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose you that the Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? Maybe their thinking was, well, this only happened to them because they were so much more evil and sinful than other people. You know, sometimes we think about things like that in a like manner today. Some tragedy strikes a family or something happens to someone and we say, well, if they hadn't been doing whatever it wanted to happen to them, we understand we've got to make good decisions and that there's consequences to our decisions. But tragedy may strike a family. Well, I wonder why they were doing that. God did that to them. Well, the Lord is saying, suppose you that they were more wrong or sinful than others because that happened? I tell you, no. King James Verse says, nay.
I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall likewise, there's our word, perish. Were those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. We need to see the importance and the necessity of repentance. Some have suggested that repentance is perhaps the most difficult command in the Bible. I don't know if that's the case, but I know that can be very difficult. To turn loose of things that we need to turn loose of and obey God. A great Bible definition of repentance is found in Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 and 29, when the Bible says, "Well, think ye, a man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered, 'No.' But then later, he repented and went." That means he changed his mind about it. And he did what his father asked him to do. And so that teaches us that to repent means that we have a change of mind that results in a change of life. A change of action. And begin to do what is right. In Acts 3:19, the Bible says, "Repent and be converted." Remember that? In Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins." Or in Acts 17:30, when the Bible says that God once winked at this ignorance, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Are there any here this morning that needs to repent? You have to answer that for yourself. There may be something amiss in your life or something that you have done that is known only but to you and God. You need to take care of that. Maybe you're here this morning, never obeyed the gospel of Christ. Why not do that now? You know that heaven awaits the faithful and that hell awaits the disobedient, so why not obey the gospel? The Lord said this, "Though a man gain the whole world and lose his own soul, what did it profit him? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? If you own everything on the top side of God's green earth and you were lost in the end, it profited you nothing." So why not turn loose of the world? Here's how you become a Christian, and folks, though the world may stand for 5,000 years from now, that will never change. You become a child of God by hearing the gospel, Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Lord said, "Except you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins." John 8:24. Do you believe it? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior of the world? Are you willing to repent of your sins? And not just be willing, but to do that. Luke 13:3, as we looked at just a moment ago, if we don't repent, we'll perish. To confess our faith that Christ is the Son of God before those present this morning. Jesus commanded that in Matthew 10:32 and 33. We have an example of that in the eunuch of Acts 8:37, when he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Then to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38. To wash away your sins. Acts 22:16. To arise to walk in newness of life. Romans 6:1-6. And when you do that, God will forgive you of every sin you've ever committed. And add you to the church. The one you read about on the pages of the Bible. Acts 2:27. Maybe you have done that, but you've fallen away, turned your back on the Lord. You realize that? Why not repent of that? Make confession to God in prayer that He'll restore you to faithfulness. We'll pray with you and for you. If you're subject to the gospel call, we bid you come.